Chapter 12. Will understands the necessity of sentinel hospitals and wings of hospitals. The soundproof rooms, dimmest possible lighting, low-odor cleaning products, ultra-flavorless food, and staff with extensive guide training must all be a godsend to those hypersensitive trapped in the hospital for an extended stay. If he were stuck on the regular side, he would be half mad by now with misery, both second-hand and first-hand. But he isn't stuck there, and he finds himself growing bored in his room alone. So he tells the ward staff where he's going and wanders onto the bright, loud, stinky side of the hospital to see what he can see. His IV pole squeaking alongside him, plaid bathrobe and lack of urgency all mark him as a patient taking a stroll. Several nurses giving him pleased looks, approving him, seeking the exercise many of their patients are gradually deconditioning without. Eventually, he finds the oxygen chamber where Georgia Madchen is growing back her skin. She smiles when she sees him and hits the intercom.
You're Will Graham.
Will smiles back. You can see my face? She nods.
Apparently it's easier to adapt to brain lesions when you don't have sepsis. Who'd have thunk it?
She has the scratchy voice of a smoker twice her age. Will wonders if she spent some time intubated.
They showed me your picture a couple of days ago. Maybe I would have come in sooner if I could have seen what a cutie you are.
Well, don't let my boyfriend hear you say that. Will is proud of not tripping over the term. He's not used to thinking of Hannibal as anything normal. Anyway, you're looking pretty cute yourself. She brushes her hair away from her face.
Must be all the oxygen. So what are you in for?
I got the flu, then kept working until I fell on my face with pneumonia. Georgia clicks her tongue.
Bet your boyfriend has a thing or two to say about that.
No kidding. He only took a break to go see a shrink and make a pot of soup.
Hope his shrink is better than any of mine,
she says bitterly. Actually, Will knows almost nothing about Hannibal's psychiatrist, other than that she's a woman. Hannibal's been seeing her the entire time he's been practicing, so he must be satisfied with her. Will feels a sudden urge to be a fly on the wall for those conversations. They must be quite the performance. He and Georgia chat a little more. She doesn't want to get better, if it means the memory of killing Beth LeBeau was stripped of its dreamlike distance. Will can't blame her. He has plenty of memories he would keep wrapped up if he could. Not your memories of dealing out violence, though. Ain't that right? His inner voice drawls, smooth and merciless. Those you like to take out and look at all the damn time, like jewels. How appropriate that your soulmate brought you 2 out of 3. As promised, Hannibal returns with soup.
Silky chicken and broth, a black-boned bird prized in China for its medical value since the 7th century, with wolfberries, ginseng, ginger, red dates, and star anise.
Will smiles helplessly. You made me chicken soup. Hannibal gives him a slow, annoyed blink.
Yes.
It smells amazing and tastes even better. Will is growing spoiled by Hannibal's cooking, full of complex flavors, delicately calibrated to Will's sense of taste and smell. The food in the hospital tastes like flour paste by comparison. Hannibal sniffs in disapproval when Will mentions this.
Taste and smell are essential elements of food, he declares. One cannot be nourished without them.
Especially in this wing, the food has to be as plain and simple as possible, like cooking for someone with dozens of unknown allergies. I don't like it, but I understand it.
All the more reason to have you discharged as soon as possible.
Will savors a mouthful of disconcerting black chicken. You don't like me being around so many guides, he realizes. Hannibal has the grace to look embarrassed and retaliates with,
Would you be pleased if I was surrounded by sentinels?
Will is not in control of the growl he makes at that. Hannibal smirks. Will glances at the door to make sure it's closed and changes the subject.
How is our house guest? He asks, as quietly as he can.
Hannibal responds at the same volume.
Stable, hidden, restrained, sedated, and hypnotized.
Are you sure? He threw off your influence once already.
Not with that many tranquilizers on board, he didn't.
Will wrinkles his nose. Isn't that going to interfere with your menu planning? Eating a person is one thing, different from any other meat, only in significance. But meat bursting with drugs doesn't sound very appetizing.
Hannibal shrugs. I already took the parts I wanted to use. Anything that comes off or out later will be strictly for effect.
Will works his way through more soup, then says, It's funny. I know what I should be saying and thinking about this, but it all feels like a token protest. Like it only occurs to me to say it or think it because I know that's what a normal person would do. Hannibal smiles.
But you don't have to be normal with me.
Will grins and shakes his head. No, I don't. He slurps up the last of the broth. The soup really is delicious.
Miss Lowndes, Jack says, please have a seat. Can I offer you a coffee?
Cream and sugar, thank you, she says, like butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. Both of them seated with coffee, Jack says.
I trust you've recovered from your ordeal?
To be frank, there wasn't much to recover from, she says. There's no one here to impress. She has to know Jack will never see her as anything but a cockroach. Abel Gideon didn't want anything from me except publicity. It was one of the most congenial interviews I've ever conducted.
Discounted being abducted at gunpoint from the scene of a recent murder, of course.
Freddy goes ever so slightly more pale.
Yes, discounting that.
Before Abel Gideon left the observatory and didn't come back, did he tell you where he was going?
She tightens her hands around her coffee mug and says, he said he wanted to give the Chesapeake Ripper something. Considering what the Ripper does, I'm sure that something was going to be a person.
Did he tell you which person?
No, but I have my theories.
Care to share them?
Have you found my car yet?
Yes, it's in an impound lot.
Her eyes light up. Jack takes pleasure in adding,
it's waiting for you outside. Not fair to make you pay a fine incurred while you were a hostage.
Freddy's glare could curdle fresh cream. I deserve to know where it was towed from.
Miss Lowndes, you very much do not. Your publicity has helped murderers escape in the past, costing who knows how many lives. The Chesapeake Ripper has enough points in his favor. For once, this piece of information is a point in ours.
It's Frederick Chilton, isn't it? She blurts out. That's where Gideon disappeared from. Jack schools his features to blankness. She's fishing for a reaction.
What makes you say that?
Gideon didn't know much more about the details of the Ripper case than anyone. He went to the observatory because it was a place the Ripper went. The easiest person he could get to who he knew was closer to the Ripper case was Chilton. Only it was so easy the Ripper knew it too, and grabbed him.
You don't think Gideon disappeared of his own free will?
If he was still free, the bodies would still be piling up.
I can't comment on an active investigation, Jack says at last. Thank you, Miss Lowndes. That will be all.
Freddy flounces out. Jack expects an article proclaiming the Ripper to have Gideon within the hour. It's a toss-up whether Dr. Chilton's name appears or not.
Hey, calm down, Will laughs, trying to reassure seven dogs at once. I'm fine.
You will be once you recuperate. For now, they are right to be concerned.
Will is no longer feverish, and his lungs are clear, for which Hannibal is profoundly grateful. But he still looks exhausted, and smells of the carefully blank environment of the Sentinel Wing at Johns Hopkins, one of the finest hypersensitive specialized medical facilities in the country, but still a hospital all the same.
All right, you guys, out for a bit.
Will whistles and opens the door, and the dogs stream out. He blows out a tired breath as he closes the door.
Lie down while I make us some lunch, Hannibal orders.
Will raises an eyebrow, but settles on the bed in the corner. Soup remains the order of the day. He won't repeat himself with more silky chicken, but he does have most of a nice fatty duck. Hannibal does not consider his favorite meat appropriate for the sick. The contaminants of modern life are no challenges for a healthy liver, but may be taxing for a system already otherwise burdened. When the duck and vegetables are simmering and the dry ingredients for dumpling batter are mixed, just waiting to be moistened and dropped in, he looks over at Will, who pats beside himself on the bed.
You have some time now, right?
I do,
Hannibal concedes, lying down flush against Will's side, as he sorely missed being able to do the last two nights with Will in the hospital. He rubs Will's chest.
How are you feeling?
Will arches slightly into the touch. Glad to be home. You spoil me.
You could do with more spoiling.
Hannibal slips his hand under Will's shirt and runs his palms over Will's pectorals, feeling the crinkle of the sparse dark hairs around his nipples, the only hair he grows on his chest. Will's nipples are already hardening into little points. He leans over and pushes Will's shirt up. He licks, then sucks at the nipple closest to him. And when Will grunts softly, he catches it between the tip of his tongue and his upper teeth. Will's hand comes up to cradle Hannibal's head, and then urge him to the other side of Will's chest. He gives the same treatment to the nipple there, lightly pinching and rolling the first in his fingers. Will gives him a deep, pleased hum, and Hannibal shifts to kneel between Will's legs. His hand roams down Will's belly, following the fine trail of hair, and into Will's pants, to hold Will's rapidly hardening cock. He pushes Will's arm up with one hand so he can smell Will's armpit. No sterile hospital odors here. Will smells aroused, like a man used to orgasming daily at least, suddenly denied for more than 2 days. Weakened, but far from sapped of his vitality.
Hannibal reminds himself that Will overpowered and half-killed Abel Gideon minutes before seizing. Sweaty, likely to want to shower or bath after this. Hannibal warms to the image of Will, damp-haired and sleepy-eyed, bundling into a thick bathrobe and enjoying Hannibal's soup. A more pleasing version of their earlier meal in the hospital. But now, Hannibal is hungry for something else. He starts to kiss his way down Will's chest, but Will stops him. "I missed your voice," he says. "I thought maybe if you want, you could talk and, ride me?" Hannibal swallows.
"Certainly."
Abruptly, that's what he wants too. He reaches into the little side table for the lubricant and wastes no time shedding his slacks and pulling down Will's. He sits astride Will's thighs and rubs their cocks together, hands free, aimless, and friendly, while he slicks up his fingers and reaches behind himself. Will reaches behind Hannibal as well.
"Talk,"
he reminds Hannibal, borrowing lubricant from Hannibal's fingers and rubbing a small circle around Hannibal's hole. Hannibal licks his lips.
"Even knowing how intelligent you are, it surprises me how quickly you master..."
Will dips a finger inside, rotating as he goes deeper to spread the lube evenly.
"Mastered this particular skill,"
Hannibal continues, a little more breathlessly than before. Will smirks. "I had some prior experience with this particular skill," he admits. "Not a lot, but some.
Still, every body is unique, requiring just the right touch to... unlock."
"And what unlocks you, Hannibal?" Will adds another finger. Hannibal groans.
"Just this."
Will's fingers are sure and confident, twisting and scissoring inside Hannibal.
"A promise that soon I'll get to stretch around your splendid cock, darling."
This startles a laugh out of Will. "Splendid? Seriously?"
"Seriously,"
Hannibal echoes, pushing back into Will's hand. Growing impatient, he adds one of his own fingers, after all, and grunts as his body adjusts to the stretch.
"All right, that's enough," he decides.
He drizzles more lubricant on Will's erection, as flushed as Will's cheeks, bobbing eagerly against Will's belly. As always, Hannibal's mouth waters to look at it, but Will made a request. Hannibal clambers forward until he can position Will at his opening, and starts to sink back. He isn't really ready, but he wants it this way.
"Jesus, you should see your face,"
Will mutters, stroking Hannibal's side as he pants through the burn.
"Do I look like I'm having a religious experience?"
Hannibal gasps, riding slowly up and down, taking more and more of Will's cock on each pass.
"You look like you're getting fucked," Will assures him.
"Splendidly." His buttocks brush Will's thighs, then rest on them, and Hannibal groans happily.
"Oh, Will, you feel exquisite. I guess it makes sense that you love having part of me inside you, any way you can get it."
Hannibal chuckles and starts to slowly roll his hips, savoring how long and thick and hot Will feels.
"Using my mouth on you is my favorite. The weight and salt of you in my mouth, or how you open so sweet and wanton for my tongue."
"Shit!" Will's hips jerk.
"But this is good, too."
Hannibal starts to ride Will faster and harder, lifting up and pushing down.
"Ugh. Will's so good. Very visceral. I don't know which is my favorite."
Will sounds dazed.
"This is right up there, though."
His hips are starting to twitch up to meet Hannibal on the downstroke. The force of the collision makes Hannibal moan loudly.
"I think..."
Will pants, surprisingly lucid, all things considered.
"I think I just like... knowing how controlled you normally are. And seeing you lose it with me. Exactly how is less important."
He lets go of Hannibal's waist and starts stripping Hannibal's cock.
"Go on, lose it for me now."
As Hannibal convulses, clenching lusciously around Will, marking Will's chest with his cum, he wonders distantly if Will has any idea of the power he wields over Hannibal. He literally cannot think of a request, short of killing Will but not killing himself, that he would not do his utmost to fulfill. Will manages a few sharp thrusts up, and then he comes to, open mouth, staring directly into Hannibal's eyes. The day after getting home from the hospital, Will is napping downstairs when he wakes to the sound of Jack's car coming up the driveway.
"How you feeling, Will?"
Jack stands like a pillar of rock among the swarming dogs until their initial frenzy dies down and he extends a hand for the taller ones to sniff.
"I'll try not to breathe on you. Come on in."
Will washes his hands and puts some coffee on. Jack does it for Will and the others when they're hard at work in his office.
"I won't take up too much of your time," Jack says. "I just wanted to hear your thoughts on something."
"Could hear my thoughts over the phone."
"And apologize." I let you keep working sick because I wanted you on that case, and you wound up in the hospital. That lack of leadership on my part, that's my responsibility.
The Gideon case is Ripper adjacent. It's understandable. Will is uncomfortable. He's a grown man. He put himself in the hospital by death marching around like an idiot.
Maybe, but not excusable. And not effective either. When it comes to the Ripper, I need to cool off. Stay smart.
No. No, stay impulsive. That's part of the plan.
Any word on Gideon?
No, it's like he vanished into thin air. But before he did, he parked Freddy Lowndes' car not far from Frederick Chilton's house.
Did he tell Freddy that's where he was going?
No, but she guessed. And if she could guess, the Chesapeake Ripper could absolutely guess.
So you think the Ripper has Gideon?
I do.
Will sips his coffee and looks at Jack, who looks like he's bursting with an idea. There's more to it than that.
I need to check something with you. Georgia Madchen, did you see her cutting on Dr. Sutcliffe?
Not directly. She had the scissors in her hands, and she was bloody like she tried to peel back his face, the same way she did to Beth LeBeau.
But you didn't see her actually cutting?
No.
And did any of the three of you go back out into the hall?
She left on a stretcher. We waited with the body until you arrived.
There was blood on the door handle.
Will shakes his head. I'm sorry, the door was open. I was looking inside the office. I wasn't in observer mode at the time. Was there?
Yeah. Somebody who touched Dr. Sutcliffe left the room and touched the door handle when they did it. Somebody other than Georgia. You or Dr. Lecter?
I didn't smell anybody else there.
You're still learning to use that sense, and you just said yourself you weren't in observer mode at the time.
That's true. What are you thinking, Jack?
I'm wondering if somebody wanted Dr. Sutcliffe dead and made it look like Georgia Madchen did it, and then got interrupted when the real thing showed up.
Will gets up to refill his coffee. Someone was interrupted before they could shred Sutcliffe's records on Georgia. Maybe it wasn't Sutcliffe.
Sutcliffe's staff didn't know what he was doing. There's only one interesting name in that file.
Chilton? Will is pretty sure he hits the right note of incredulity. Jack leans forward, knuckles paling where he clutches his mug.
He consulted on the Ripper case. His patient Abel Gideon claimed to be the Ripper, and then claimed Chilton influenced him to think he was the Ripper. He referred Georgia Madchen to Dr. Sutcliffe, but I checked Chilton's private practice records and no records exist of him seeing her.
Anymore.
Anymore,
Jack says grimly.
And now Abel Gideon has vanished near his house.
Jesus, Jack.
I'm taking my time on this one, getting all my ducks in a row. If it's him, I don't want him getting away.
There's another duck. Hannibal knows him. He's had dinner at Hannibal's house more than once. Maybe they talked about the Gideon case.
I'm headed to his office next.
Jack gives Will a hard look.
Will, I want you to keep your distance on this one, as much as you can. Chilton looked at you like he wanted you in that goddamn zoo he's running.
Jack Crawford, alias the Bond Father. How much distance do you think I can keep if there's a potential threat to my guide?
About as much as I expect Dr. Lecter to keep if there's a potential threat to you. But you're going to do it anyway. Get a handle on those instincts. Hole up together while you convalesce, and let the FBI crush this particular threat like the fist of God. Got it?
Will makes a show of clenching his jaw and nodding, acquiescing to the chief of the tribe.
Jack Crawford came to see me yesterday, Hannibal says conversationally. He asked me whether Frederick Chilton ever discussed you with me, Abel.
Will adds, he had a lot more questions for me on the same topic. He's certain the Chesapeake Ripper has you, and you disappeared outside Chilton's house. Abel Gideon takes his time chewing another bite of his own thigh. After he swallows, he says, I usurp the title of Chesapeake Ripper and end up with a broken back, eating my own legs. The man who helped me usurp it gets the title to keep? Very uneven, Doctor.
Not really. Frederick would rather die than be disgraced. He will end up in the same position you occupied, caged, drugged, and studied for the personal advancement of second-rate academics like himself.
Abel cuts another piece of meat. I'd be surprised if it sticks. My lawyer did some digging on Frederick. He was an incompetent surgeon, fled to psychiatry to avoid embarrassment. Will points out, you don't have to be a competent surgeon if you don't intend the people you remove organs from to live.
Hannibal shoots him a look, and Will assures him, although I'm sure they would have if you'd wanted them to.
Mollified, Hannibal has a sip of wine.
The Cotis du Rhone is such a nice pairing with the roast, stuffed as it is with dried fruit. The flavors mingle together on his palate, a symphony just like the events he has orchestrated from around them.
Tell me, Will, how do you find the meat?
He would have liked Will to stick to an invalid's diet for another day, but of course, the instant Will caught wind of it, he insisted that Hannibal stop with the poultry soups. Will gives him a tiny eye roll. I've eaten enough times with you in the past that it just tastes familiar. Good home cooking. Hannibal beams at him. He is so in love. Will gives him a weary squint and takes another bite, and Hannibal can't restrain a sigh of utter contentment. I thought I was someone who shouldn't be in a relationship, reflects Abel, but maybe I just should have been looking for someone more like myself.
You very well might have looked forever and been unsuccessful, says Hannibal, gazing at Will. Certainly, I never expected such a turn of events myself.
Will swallows and says, he's going to try and slash one of his arteries with his steak knife if you say one more sappy thing, Hannibal. Abel hisses, traitor! Hannibal gets up to fetch the sedatives. Will feels slow and thick in the head, like he's drunk, but not exactly like it. He oozes towards consciousness, like mud sliding downhill. The remnants of his last conversation echo through his confused, semi-lucid dreamscape.
Oh, you fucker. Authenticity, darling. Gonna kill you, Hannibal.
Will mumbles aloud, and the feeling of his lips moving pulls him closer to awake.
Hannibal! Who's Hannibal?
It's a woman's voice, cracked and hoarse. Will realizes he can hear a second heartbeat in the room with him, an unsteady, nervous breathing. Will pries open glued eyelids. His head feels like it weighs 1,000 pounds. He finally manages to see something besides ceiling, and immediately wishes he were still unconscious. He's looking into the terrified face of Miriam Lass.